Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said earlier, these storms, they're going to get worse. And we need the investment now while we have the opportunity. We need to rebuild this country and to attempt to adapt to the storms that are coming, the kind of heavy rains we're going to get. I mean, look at New York City, crippled because its subway system is drowning. The roads, just underwater. I'm told this stuff is going to happen again and again, and it's going to happen more frequently. So we've got to make these investments now, which is why I'm a big fan of investing heavily in infrastructure. We could have done more with the bipartisan bill, but the Build Back Better plan, something we need to do. And here to share some thoughts on how we do some of that, I've asked Representative Andy Levin to come talk with us. Andy is on the House Education and Foreign Relations Committee. He's a representative for Michigan's 9th Congressional District. Andy, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, it's great to be with you.
I appreciate you taking time for us. So have you seen these videos coming out of New York where it basically looks like Niagara Falls at every stop along the subway line?
I haven't seen them yet, but look, Rick, it just shows you the interconnection between infrastructure and climate change. You know, we have got to fix our roads and bridges and so forth, but we've got to get serious about climate change. The Build Back Better budget would be, if we can pass it as we're planning, it'll be by far the biggest intervention on climate change, in addition to doing a lot of important infrastructure and human infrastructure work too.
No, most certainly something we need. But, you know, I always point to the American Society of Civil Engineers who say right now, today, as of this moment, Representative, we need $4.6 trillion. That's not what's being proposed for just our hard infrastructure, let alone our needs in everything else. So while I'm going, you know, this is historic investment, you know, the smart people, the people with the pencils and the slide rules, they're saying it's not near enough.
No, that's right. And I mean, to be fair, they're talking about everything it would take to fix, you know, to get everything up to where it should be. So you don't have to do all that spending at once.
Right.
But I think we should be spending much more on this infrastructure. Rick, it's a great investment. And it's, you know, all that phony talk of supply side economics for all those years. Oh, just give rich people a tax cut and, you know, everybody will come out good. Well, that didn't happen. On the other hand, if you actually improve your infrastructure, make sure all poor kids, rural and urban, have broadband, right? Build out the infrastructure so that people can charge electric vehicles. They can buy the dang things because they could drive them wherever they want without running out of juice. Those kind of real investments really do help us in the long run because they make us more competitive. They create more jobs.
No, and look, the one of the big things that I point to, and look, I love the plan. I love the direction. I love the Buy American provision in here that says, hey, if we're going to rebuild these roads and bridges, we're going to use American steel and concrete, and we're going to use American workers. And for me, the fact that the Republicans weren't able to strip out prevailing wage laws out of it, this means that the workers doing those jobs are going to have good, solid, family-sustaining wage jobs, which is going to help everybody.
No question. I mean, we're now writing right into our bills the most aggressive pro-worker and pro-union language that you've ever seen. I mean, so for example, in my EV Freedom Act, which can't be in there exactly because it's a reconciliation package, so it can't have so much policy. But in the bill as I wrote it, there's neutrality in there, dude. If workers want to form a union, the boss is to get out of the way and let them decide on their own, right? We've got IBEW training standards, essentially, for electricians if they're going to, work on adding this kind of new vehicle electrification infrastructure.
As we should. I mean, they're the smart people. They're the ones who know how to do this stuff. We should let them do it.
Right. And, you know, as well as prevailing wage and all the health and safety provisions. So it's really important to make sure that we basically make everything we can in America and have it all made by well-paid union represented workers.
I'm right there with you. But here's a problem. You got Joe Manchin in West Virginia, who just came out today, said we need to take a pause on that big plan. Evidently too much in there he's not happy with. So how do we get that moved through? Because, look, everybody I talk to, when you start talking about nuts and bolts, getting kids college education, helping grandma get a new set of chompers and maybe a hearing aid, you know, doing the human infrastructure stuff that does, like long-term care for people, all the stuff that we've needed for decades, everyone's for it. How do we get Joe Manchin and the rest of the party on board?
Well, you're right. I mean, of course, the problem is that we have the narrowest possible majority in the Senate. We need every single Democrat to vote for this, because let's remember, not one Republican will, not one. And it's almost the same in the House, though, Rick. I mean, right. You know, our majority is like 3 or 4, depending on the moment. So we are going to have to pass something that can get every single vote. And I don't know why some of these really conservative Democrats don't want to do super popular stuff that creates great jobs and makes America more competitive. But we're going to have to convince them, bring them along, package this up in a way that can get everybody's votes. We don't have a way around it.
Yeah, especially someone like Manchin, who, you know, a massive investment into West Virginia could turn that state somewhere in a positive direction. But here's the thing, and this is where I think the conventional wisdom is. If the Republicans can roadblock and install and delay long enough, if we don't get something on infrastructure, if we don't get something on voting rights, it's going to be a long year in 2022 for Democrats. And I hear, you know, the former guy is about to announce he's going to run in 2024 here in a couple of days. So how do you do that?
Well, I think that first of all, you know, we have to realize that we did something massive with the American Rescue Plan, and we can't let that get lost in the shuffle. I mean, imagine every poor family, every working class family, middle class, way up into the upper middle class, every family is getting $250 a month or $300 a month for every kid. $250 if they're 6 or over, $300 a month if they're under 6. My wife and I remember the days when our oldest is 28 now, man. But I remember when we had 3 kids, 5 and under in the house. That would be $900 a month. I mean, that's transformative for working class or middle class families. And so we've got to keep that going. We improved, let's not forget, the Affordable Care Act significantly, made it way easier and more affordable for people to get coverage. We've got to keep that going. So I'm hopeful we can pass this full infrastructure and, you know, human infrastructure bill to create jobs, cut taxes, and lower costs for people. And we're just going to have to duke it out internally to make sure we get everybody on board. I mean, whatever it takes.
And ultimately, as I've been saying for a while, we need to figure out how we pay for this stuff. And you do that by taxing the people who have been getting away with not paying taxes for decades. I'm sorry, we have a billionaire class that since the beginning of the pandemic until now saw their wealth go up 62%. Our billionaire class saw an extra $1.8 trillion lining their pockets while people are afraid that they're going to get evicted from their homes. It's time to start going passing the hat in that crowd. At least that's my view.
I mean, what if we just said, hey, you all were super billionaires before. Why don't we just start with that $1.6 trillion as a pay for? You know, but in all seriousness, we absolutely need to tax people. Billionaires should not be paying virtually no taxes, as we saw was revealed recently for you know, person after person paying no or virtually no taxes. Just outrageous. Secondly, corporations have to pay their share. And, I really like what Janet Yellen is doing about trying to make sure, get a global compact to make sure all corporations globally pay at least 15% in taxes. But we've got to beef up the IRS to collect the taxes that people owe.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, you and I pay our taxes, but if there's not enforcement from the IRS, some of these super rich people, get away with not even paying the taxes that they definitely do owe. So all that needs to happen.
Yeah, we got a lot of work ahead of us.
We can pay for a lot of this with that. I got a cool way to pay for a little tiny bit of it.
Hit me.
We got to include the penalties from the PRO Act in here, which we plan to do, which will raise some revenue. So it works as for this, like reconciliation, because whatever you put in there has to either, raise revenue or raise the deficit. And you know, we have no meaningful penalties against employers when they violate workers' rights for trying to form a union, for, you know, demonstrating for a good contract, whatever. So if we include these penalties in there, that'll raise a little bit of revenue, but it'll also make it easier for workers to form unions. And that's a benefit in and of itself. So there's some things in there that are really important that will raise a little bit of revenue. And then I think we can raise a lot of revenue by increasing taxes on big corporations and the wealthiest.
No, I'm right there with you. But, you know, to your point on the fines for people who violate the labor laws. You know, I've been saying for years, our labor laws are broken. The pendulum has swung way too far to the side of corporations, and we need something. And if it's just a little bit of, you know, a couple of fines, that's a help. But I still think we need major comprehensive overhaul to our labor law, because, you know, employers have figured out how to get around them. All this misclassification, all of this independent contractor nonsense. We're now seeing Uber and Lyft spending another couple hundred million dollars in Massachusetts to do what they did in California. The moneyed interests, I don't know that a couple of fines are really going to hurt the big boys, because Amazon spent $200 million to keep workers from organizing in Alabama. In freaking Alabama.
Dude, I was there. You know, you're totally right. The PRO Act is my number one priority in Congress. And it's funny you should mention it, because I was just out in an event in Macomb County, and the national leader of the Young Dems Labor Caucus is one of my constituents, Rob Simbarski. And he was there showing me pictures about all their activism about on the two senators from Arizona and the one from Virginia, who are, you know, say they won't co-sponsor. Now I heard that Senator Warner says he's on board or something. Anyway, people need to hit the street. They need to get creative. We all need to tell stories. Like, think about this Nabisco strike that's going on right now. What a great, everybody knows about Oreos and whatever else they make, right? Well, you know, one of the things the PRO Act does that was barred since 1947, it's Taft-Hartley amendments, is let workers just act in solidarity with workers from another company. Yep. I mean, that's basic. The most basic freedom of expression should be a First Amendment right, right? So the Nabisco strike is a great example, right? Because everybody knows about Oreos and all those products that they have. So it would be huge if we passed the PRO Act when, you know, truckers or other workers from another company could say, no, I'm not crossing that picket line. And my job's not going to be at stake either, because I have a right to act in solidarity with workers in another company, because there's such a thing as working people sticking together. I mean, that's what has been lost in this country. And that's why the PRO Act is so important.
Yeah, it's one of those things that absolutely I'm in favor of. And, you know, I, in talking about the Nabisco strike, I love the fact that the train operator refused to deliver the flour because he was not going to, under any circumstances, cross a picket line. We got to go back to that. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we have to go back to, it still comes down to you and me and the working class people in this country saying, you know, we've had enough and we're going to act in solidarity with one another.
100%. And, you know, you're seeing it really hopeful signs all around if the politicians could just catch up to the people. I mean, look at all the workers in like the tech industry and the like digital media and stuff forming unions. You can't even keep up with all of it, really. Yeah. There are many groups that are forming unions, and we just need like working class service workers to be able to form a union without getting their chops busted. But that, you know, the way the labor law is now, if, you know, if you're a restaurant chain or a hotel chain or, you know, any big company, Walmart, of course, example number one, right? You can prevent your workers from forming a union through legal and illegal means, and there's basically no consequence to it.
And this is why I mean, the fact that you're talking about fines.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is that they're not a cure-all, but if you put these are serious fines. You know, multiple damages, possibilities for punitive damages, and escalating fines for repeat offenses and stuff. So I think it really would affect company behavior on organizing campaigns. Maybe not an Amazon, but, you know, a lot of companies, I think it would.
Yeah, I would love to see that go into a nationwide strike fund, like an unemployment benefit for people who are on strike or locked out. That would be something interesting. So I guess last line of questioning, how do we get people motivated to contact their representatives and push this? Because ultimately it's going to come down to a vote, which now, as I said, Joe Manchin said he wants to put a pause on, which is a struggle for me because I don't think we get anything then.
Well, we don't. I mean, I hate that Joe Manchin suddenly has all this power. People, you know, say he does, but it is true that every single Democratic senator has to vote for whatever emerges. And we have very little time. So I'd encourage people to act right now. Here's the thing. If you want dental and vision and hearing, like hearing aids, to be covered in Medicare, get on your dang phone and call your senator or representative, write a letter, send an email. If you want childcare for, you know, available and pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds so that kids can get a great start and parents can go to work, get on your dang phone. If you want free community college, this is my America's College Promise Act. It's in this bill. So, if we end up having to cut the money, Rick, I figure we'll just not be able to do as much of these things. But this is the most transformative piece of legislation in decades. Because it covers so many things, it's probably the biggest thing, even bigger than anything in the war on poverty, because it covers a lot of things. Imagine if childcare and pre-K workers were treated like teachers and were able to have unions and were made a middle-class wage, you know. So this is, yep, this would be huge for the working people of this country.
No, it's kind of like a reset button to undo some of the damage over the last 40 years of supply side voodoo Reaganomics and moving us back to where we had a social compact and we were kind of helping each other out, making college more affordable, college more affordable, healthcare more accessible, and an infrastructure that actually, benefits us. We got a lot to do, and I hope folks will reach out and contact you and others to make sure it gets done. But Representative Levin, I appreciate the time. As always, great talking with you, and please keep up the fight for labor.
You got it, Rick. Good to see you again. Take care of yourself.
You as well. Thanks so much, our good friend, Representative Andy Levin. Make sure you check out his website, andylevin.house.gov. We'll get links out on social media, how you can take a look at that. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Number two.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.